Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Stressful business, football, isn't it? Especially if you defend like Barcelona. Anyone marking what's-his-face? Who, Borja? Nah, he falls over every time he gets in the penalty point. The box has no point. Besides, that bloke over there, he waves his flag every time we concede, so it means it's not a goal. All right, OK, so sure he won't score a hat-trick against us like all those other reasonably good strikers. Well, if he does, it doesn't matter. We'll just score four. Whereas over at Real Madrid, there's a very clear tactical master plan. Spread out a bit and run around, and if all else fails, hoik it in the box. Sounds like it could be a frustrating game to watch. Well, whatever, someone will bang one in from 40 yards or something. Usually works. All of which is to say the top two extended their advantage over the rest of the field. We're straight into another round of games, so if you're late to this, Barca have probably beaten Mallorca despite a Kyle Larin hat-trick. I hesitate to draw any hard conclusions because everyone in the relegation battle got something, except Valladolid, obviously, and Girona, who seem to be targeting a rare Champions League relegation double. And we know that five teams will definitely play in the Champions League next season from La Liga. We're just not sure if anyone really wants to. Villarreal going to some lengths to avoid such a fate.
And the officials. Yes. Come on a minute.
Yes. So, I mean, wow, Terry, a couple of games this week involving the top ones. Barcelona. I have said this before, and we need to keep a perspective on this. The entertainment levels of Hansi Flick's team needs to be... We need to acknowledge it as we're going along, because we'll look back and we'll say... Because it won't last forever. It won't be there forever. And you look back and say, that team was exciting. And at times, extraordinary. You know, this game against Celta Vigo. But, you know, it's another brilliant entertainment festival from them.
Yep. I mean, Philip sent us a WhatsApp, a message on X when they were 3-1 down, saying this team is shattered and has Hansi Flick missed the trick by not rotating the team more. There's no energy left in the team, and they come back and win 4-3. So that aged well. It was a tougher fixture than it should have been. I mean, Inigo Martinez is claiming offside when Borja Iglesias is running from his own half and he's still looking around and anticipating a raised flag from the assistant referee. There was three players back, no one marking Borja Iglesias for the one where he runs through unopposed and just inks it past the Szczesny in goal. One of his finishes was tremendous. The driven finish towards the far post was a wonderful strike. And it didn't look like there was a way back in. And I have had in me thinking, there is a calamity coming from this Barcelona team, and will it be costly? This might be the time where it focuses their attention back on the fundamentals of what they've done so well this season. So it was a shabby defensive line in terms of the offside trap this weekend against Celta Vigo.
Yeah.
That was once... complacency.
Yeah. However, you did say that to me on Friday after they conceded those goals against Dortmund. Yeah. It might wake them up.
And it's then a concern, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two games on the trot, they've looked... And the easy conclusion to make is Balde's not there. Just one change in the back four. And there was more changes against Dortmund. Araujo came in as well. But it does make you think that the merits now of Hansi Flick playing those players on a regular basis, that regular back four, the centre-back pairing, the left-back, Koundé, right-back, Baldi, left-back, they get used to it. they get used to playing alongside each other. When a new person is in there that's not in tune with the rest of them, it's in the last couple of games, it's fallen apart. So this might be refocus their mind on the what they do. And also, we've got an interesting one now. Andre Ter Stegen could be back any time now. So he obviously hasn't had any practice matches, any games to play, because that's not how it works anymore. You can't go and play half a dozen games in the reserves and then play for the first team after a long-term injury. It's straight back into first team action, or you know, at least be on the bench. And there's a decision to make, because one of the goals, Chesney was up for. He didn't cover himself in glory against Dortmund. I think he's been a wonderful deputy, exceeded my expectations. I know there's talk about him coming out of retirement, but it was only a few months. The players were out longer than that, injured. And he's still relatively young for a goalkeeper. But Hansi Flick has a big decision there. And I have to be honest, I don't know what I would do. I mean, Ter Stegen clearly is the better goalkeeper. But there's always going to be a case of, well, how's he going to be on his return from injury? Is he going to take two or three games to get fit? It was different for Courtois last season. He pretty much came in for the one game, didn't he, in the Champions League final. But for Ter Stegen, they're fighting on all fronts. So there's going to be the Champions League. I can't imagine he'll play in the Copa del Rey final next Saturday. But there are enough league games for him to get back involved in. So Hansi Flick has a huge decision there. I mean, as I said, there's no doubt that Ter Stegen's a better goalkeeper. But what do? Do you throw him straight back in and hope he returns back to his normal level? And that's fine. But if he isn't, then if you do mess up, it's the criticism on the goalkeeper and the manager are going to be, it's going to be relentless. But
they're going to get criticism either way, aren't they, if it goes badly? So it depends so you can't play him the next two games. If he doesn't play this evening against Mallorca, he can't play the next two. So their fixtures go Mallorca tonight, Real Madrid in the Copa final Saturday night, home to Inter, away to Valladolid, home, then away to Inter, then the Clásico, and then Espanyol away, and then Villarreal at home, and Athletic away. So they're not easy games in there. I guess if he's not ready for Valladolid,
that's the one.
Yeah, then I guess he can't play, I think.
I'm not sure exactly what the limitations are on the squad as well, because I think Chesney was only allowed to sign because Ter Stegen was taken out of the squad. So I don't know whether there's any laws in place where if Ter Stegen comes back, I did read somewhere that Danny Olmo has to drop out again, which makes sense. If there's any problems there financially, it always seems to rebound on Danny Olmo. So I don't know whether there are any limitations on whether he can come back, whether it's as straightforward as if he comes back, Chesney has to drop out of the squad, which means Iñaki Peña is the backup. I don't know. It's so complicated this season with Barcelona and their squad limitations.
Yeah.
Which I guess it makes it even more remarkable how well they're doing.
Yeah.
And the fact they're playing in that stadium, it's not the Camp Nou, it's nothing like it. So it's what they're doing is remarkable, but they pushed it close at the weekend. The casualty to Lewandowski, that's a blow.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to... I mean, Ferran Torres has shown this season he's in top form. He's a different type of striker to Lewandowski. He's never going to be as good as Lewandowski in the penalty box. He adds other things as well. His goal at the weekend was a sensational goal. And it does give them a different... probably a little bit more energy in terms of closing down high up the pitch and winning the ball back quicker. And again, in this game, Rafinha was just ridiculous. I mean, the substitutes change the game, don't they? Dani Olmo and Lamine Yamal coming on. They impact the game in a massive way, but Rafinha was the star of the show again.
I mean, if you've got subs, Lamine Yamal and Dani Olmo, it doesn't make you a tactical genius to put them on, does it?
And
play better. Rafinha, I know you're not a big Ballon d'Or watcher, but he's got a case, hasn't he?
Yes, totally. He is prominent. And people have to forget this. Oh, he was only at Leeds.
That's even better.
Yeah, so what? He was at Leeds in the Premier League and he was younger and showed the potential that a club like Barcelona would want him. And eyebrows were raised when they paid that much money. because he came from Leeds, and you know, it's not a normal transfer, to be honest. Although he's playing for Brazil, and just when we thought he was probably going to leave, and I think he's admitted that now. He came out the weekend in an interview and said that he owes Hansi Flick so much because he was considering leaving as well in the summer. It wasn't just a club looking to sell him. He was considering leaving. It didn't happen. He stayed, and Hansi Flick has put so much faith in him and given him confidence and belief. And he's a talisman. He's a leader of Barcelona now. And his season this year has just been, it's been remarkable. He's been fun to watch. I mean, Lamine Yamal takes a lot of headlines because he's ridiculously only 17 years of age. But Rafinha on the other side has probably surpassed Lamine Yamal this season in general. I think Lamine Yamal is breathtaking because he's so good and he's so young. But in overall ability this season and quality, Rafinha is the pick of the bunch of the Barcelona players. And that sounds a lot because Pedri's been exceptional. Lewandowski has been exceptional. The defenders have been exceptional. But Rafinha has been unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll get on to, at some point in the next few weeks, we'll get onto our one player per club La Liga teams. Cool. It'll be difficult for Barcelona, isn't it? Yeah. Kelvin, though, has a question. Thank you for your kind words, Kelvin. Now, right, what did you think of the reaction at the weekend of Fort, Ferran Torres and Ansu Fati? Fort not wanting to speak to Flick after the game, Ferran angry after being taken off, Ansu angry after not being brought on. I understand the frustration, he says, especially of Fort, for a young, talented player, hasn't really been given any sort of chance. But were they right to react in the way they did, or should they have waited until they got into the dressing room and had the words with Flick? Do you think Flick's reluctance to rotate the team this season will cost Barca in the Champions League?
I don't know. That is the answer to the question. We'll wait and see. And that's a question that we all, that remains to be seen, and what happens whether he's not rotated the squad enough. I would say to those three players, I understand their frustration. Maybe not Ferran Torres. I mean, he's been involved most of the season. He's come off the bench, a massive impact. And he's the replacement for Lewandowski. That's clear. Hansi Flick has said that. So I don't know why Ferran Torres is frustrated. Maybe he's frustrated with the scoreline when he comes off. Maybe something like that. I don't think he's got a genuine grievance to make against the manager. Hector Fort, I understand his frustration. Ansu Fati, it's a difficult one, isn't it? He's had limited opportunities, but when he comes in, I'm desperate for him to do well, but he doesn't really make an impact. I would say they're wrong to do it now. I think the time to do it is at the end of the season. I think when your team's involved in challenging for three trophies, don't be an idiot. Don't spoil things. Don't cause trouble. Be a good teammate. And then at the end of the season, resolve your own personal situation. That would be my advice. And I think that's Hector Fort, they're Barcelona, are not going to sell him unless they get a silly offer. It might be a loan deal, something like that. But that's next season. I mean, he's still only a teenager. He's a really good player. It might be something in the future that Barcelona look to think, do you know what? We can sell Koundé for 50 million. We've got a ready-made replacement. That might be something that helps resolve their financial problems. And he's really good. Ansu Fati is a difficult one. But he's my advice. And the right thing, it's not my advice, the right thing to do is concentrate on football. Be there when you're called upon. And at the end of the season, have the conversation then.
Real Madrid. So it's been an interesting week. We've got some thoughts on Real Madrid from the Patreons. Obviously, they were knocked out of the Champions League. We've discussed that at length on Friday. And then they got past Athletic. It was it was quite entertaining as a game. Yeah, because, but it was frantic. But it reminded me of the early part of the season where they were sort of desperately trying to achieve something, but I wasn't entirely sure what they were trying to achieve. And then, of course, it all comes good because Valverde, as we know, he can strike a ball, and boy, did he strike it. So it's very Real Madrid, but literally a few days earlier, they showed us that you can't just, or we'll just Real Madrid our way out of this situation again, and they couldn't against Arsenal.
No, it was a poor display, actually, in the last half an hour against Arsenal in the first leg and the second leg. I genuinely believed they would do the comeback. I didn't see Arsenal as a team that were three goals better than Real Madrid, but they were. Mm-hmm. And the comeback never materialised. It never really ignited at all, to be honest. when they go a goal down against Arsenal, they score immediately, and you're thinking then, oh, this is back on. And it never happens. No spells of pressure. It was quite clearly a team of individuals. And it looks a little bit untidy when Valverde's playing here and he's playing there and he's swapping to this position. And at the weekend, they ended up, I think, with one defender in the back four. The rest of it was Ancelotti throwing players on left, right and centre to try and get the winning goal. It was against an Athletic Bilbao team that had one player that played against Rangers, and that was Berenguer. So you're playing the reserves, to be honest. And it was fun to watch Athletic defend because, you know, Simon took a lot of ball plaudits because of a couple of saves. He was saved by his teammates on another 10 occasions where they threw themselves in front of a shot and blocked it. And they ultimately nearly got away with it. It was a poor defensive clearance from Mikel Vesca, who just flicked the ball away in the penalty box to the worst player on the pitch you could flick the ball away to. The first touch sat up.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Nicely, and then Valverde with a stunning volley. One of those we think, oh my god, it's gone in. You know, and then you think, oh, of course it's Valverde, he's going to always be close anyway, and the power to beat him. And I see one, they made hard work of it. I thought Vinicius had one of his better games, which is, it's kind of baffles me a little bit. He came to life when Mbappe's not there. And I do genuinely think there's an issue, not between them personally, but as teammates, I think there is an issue there that's going to need resolving in terms of the ego, the star player. And Vinicius tried to lead the team at the weekend in the way that he didn't do against Arsenal in both games. And he was much better at the weekend. He led them in an attacking sense. But it was a tough victory for them in a game where probably Athletic Club, clearly by the team that Ernesto Valverde picked, only went there to defend. Probably didn't hold out much hope of a team that had 10 changes. I know Unai Simon is the number one goalkeeper, but the team against Rangers, Giri Zabala plays in the Europa League. And it was, you know, you could tell, you looked at the bench, there was no Nico Williams at all. He's out injured. Iñaki was on the bench and they started to bring one or two of them on as the game progressed. But Real Madrid made hard work of it, but it was vintage Real Madrid in terms of million shots. I think it was only three on target. Shots were blocked by Athletic Club, as I said. They defended with their, you know, with so much determination. Didn't offer anything going forward. But it was a much needed victory for Athletic Club, for Real Madrid over Athletic Club.
Right. To the question. So Paul Campbell is a Atletico Madrid fan and a patron of ours, not wanting to be bitter or petty, he starts. But it felt like a bit of justice to me in terms of both the quarterfinal, the last 16 round before it. Real have been sneaking through games all season via contentious decisions mixed with clutch moments from superstars. Not a blueprint for winning the Champions League, except it is, because they've done it before exactly like that, haven't they? I just wish Atleti had done more when we had the chance. We might have actually given Arsenal a game. Yeah, right.
So the last six wins have been by one goal.
Yeah,
even against teams they should be winning. It's been a struggle for about two or three months now for Real Madrid.
What we need to remember about Real Madrid is that those Champions League wins, they haven't that dominated the competition.
No, not this
probably
season.
One of those years. when they won the Champions League in recent years, that you thought, though they're obviously the best team in Europe, they're just a team that is able to win, which is a magnificent thing to achieve. And it brings us on to Ancelotti questions. So, I mean, it was literally, I think Sky were reporting that Ancelotti was going after the Copa del Rey final, which is in a few days' time, so there's no confirmation of what he's doing. There's a lot of speculation that they're talking. There's a bit on Marca today about Klopp. There's lots of talk of Xabi Alonso. So Stu says, given the level of superstar and ego at Real Madrid, isn't Ancelotti the best person for the job? Proven in that sort of managerial role, you've seen the issues from the Galactico era and the PSG model, how hard it is to get that many superstars to work together. Xabi Alonso's a system coach, which would lead to individual fallouts with the current squad. Not sure any manager is well suited, to be honest. Right, and Daniel makes a very good point. Right, regarding the Real Madrid manager situation, I agree that Xabi Alonso being the logical choice, especially if you bring Zubimendi with him. But my main question or concern is the assumed tactical transition that he would bring a much more structured positional system with a greater out-of-possession emphasis and expectation. In a squad of superstars who used to being given freedom to solve problems themselves, and they've got big egos, they believe that's their right. I worry that Xabi might still be too early in his coaching career to get the necessary buy-in. And he knows that they know that they will outlast the manager. And he compares it to Unai Emery. Cautionary tale, as he says. He doesn't attribute his failures, in inverted commas, at PSG or Arsenal to coaching shortcomings, but to the inability to force players to buy in when there's a powerful locker room. He doesn't attribute Unai Emery's success at Villa to him learning from prior mistakes, but to him succeeding and out of his depth, Gerrard, which created an environment with players hungry for new ideas and intensity. Xabi Alonso arrived at Leverkusen in a similar situation to Gerrard's Villa. Barring another huge defeat in the Copa, I'm not sure this Madrid squad will be broken down enough to commit to running and selfless rotations that Xabi Alonso expects. And he gives a lot of details about who would play where, whether they have the strength, the depth of centre-backs to do. But he does think that, for example, Valverde, Camavinga fit into Xabi Alonso's, the system he uses at Leverkusen. There's no guarantee they'll use the same system, of course, if he were to be Real Madrid manager. Doesn't know where Bellingham would fit in. Thinks he might end up with Vinny and Bellingham going for the same positions. Right. And in fact, I'll come back to Darren's points, because Darren is pure defence of Ancelotti to come. Yeah. So those questions, do they replace Ancelotti? Where are you with this? And Daniel, I think in good detail there, has voiced my concern about Xabi Alonso, which is he's a man with a plan, and plans usually fail at Real Madrid. And Ancelotti, the Ancelotti Zidane model has worked pretty well, which is, you let these guys largely get on with it, and we all think that they're going to be bad, and we all get frustrated when we see them lose like they did against Arsenal, but generally they turn it round in the end.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of issues about Real Madrid. I think it's not an ageing squad now. It's not a squad that needs ripping apart and starting again.
Yeah.
They do have some experienced players, but they have so many young players that's it doesn't need ripping up. And also, I think we underestimate another point. Who are the egos? There's only two that can be, maybe three, that we can accuse of having the egos. Vinicius, Mbappe, Bellingham. No one else in that team has an ego. No one else in that squad has an ego that's going to be a problem. And I'm not sure those three do, to be perfectly honest. I think there's an issue regarding the position and play of Vinicius and Mbappe. Clearly, they both prefer to play on the left, but I think Mbappe has been spectacular success this season. Seeing him get booed at the weekend from Real Madrid fans just reinforced the belief that people have in Real Madrid supporters in general. You know, they've booed everyone, and it's ridiculous that the players that they've booed in the past, the managers they've booed in the past, and now Mbappe, after scoring, he was going to get 40 goals this season in his first season, it's still getting jeered and whistled when he's not even playing. That's daft. It's a minority of Real Madrid supporters, but they do their best to maintain their reputation of being sport supporters, that if they haven't won the Champions League every year, it's the end of the world. They've won six out of the last 11, I think it is. No one else does that. So when they have a season where they don't win the Champions League, all hell breaks loose. So I don't think the egos, and also my main point I was going to make is Real Madrid, those players we're referring to, they don't want to be second best. They don't want to be also-rans. And if it means a manager coming in with a plan and then being champions and then winning the Champions League again and being top of the bunch, because they can be with the squad that they have, then I think the players will be receptive to that. And do I think it needs a change? Yeah, I do at the moment, if I'm being honest. I think that Ancelotti probably was out-coached by Arteta over the two games. And it's all well and good, you know, when you're relying on individual moments of brilliance from players. But there does need to be a structure. There'll be another team that I refer to later in the podcast, Girona, in their slide to relegation, lacking a structure that's suitable for what they're doing at the moment. And I think with Real Madrid, I've seen them in the past. It's worked. They have had they've got the best players in the world, and they can conjure up a victory out of nowhere. But even when no one else believes in it, they do. But I think this season, if and listen, they might end up winning the league. They might end up winning the Copa del Rey. But if they don't, and you know, then it's an issue in the summer, and it might need a fresh voice with a plan. And I think the players will be receptive to it if it makes them a more successful and better team. And that's hard to say because Ancelotti it couldn't have made them any more successful. Mm. But I think the team at the moment and does need a fresh voice, some fresh ideas.
Yeah, when we talk about the Real Madrid managers of relatively recent times who've been different and failed were Rafa Benitez and Julen Lopetegui. Neither, I mean, Rafa had a good, you know, he won the Champions League with Liverpool. He wasn't, he's not a poor manager. Lopetegui, probably above his pay grade.
Yeah, I agree.
Real Madrid. So it's not necessarily, I don't think those two cases prove that Real Madrid are unmanageable.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't think they are. And I think we've rotated between Zidane and Ancelotti over the last decade. And I think that, you know, I really do believe the players would be receptive to new ideas, a new approach. I don't think their egos are out of control. I think it's an easy weapon to hit them with when they do lose a game, spectacularly as they did over two legs against Arsenal. There are easy people to blame, and we look at those players and we go, oh yeah, his ego is too much of a problem for a manager. I genuinely believe players want to be in, there are egos, I'm not going to deny that. But I think they'll want to be part of a team that dominates and wins stuff. And when you're playing for Real Madrid, that's what you expect. You know, you don't want to be knocked out there early in the Champions League. You don't want to finish behind Barcelona or Atletico Madrid or whoever it is. So I think the players would be receptive to instruction, coaching, guidelines, tactics, you know, some sort of plan as opposed to... And it's not easy for Ancelotti to do. I mean, last season, his season was wrecked, but he made the most of it in terms of playing players in different positions because Militao was injured. This season, there's no Militao, there's no Dani Carvajal. He's had this ongoing problem with the right back position, which has been pitiful, in my opinion. The Real Madrid allowed it. And Lucas Vasquez having to play right back or dragging Valverde away from midfield and playing him at right back. But when Valverde plays in midfield and Rodrigo plays down the right, they're babysitting Lucas Vasquez because it's a weakness that teams have identified. Why they didn't sign it another right back in January, I have no idea whatsoever. I mean, pay a loan fee, get someone in that's 30 years old, 29 years old, that's a regular, that's not playing for a team that could do a job, or go and buy someone for 10 million that is a good right back that will do you until you have no further use for him and sell him for 5 million, something like that. They could have done something. They chose not to. They chose to use Lucas Vasquez. A little bit smacked of arrogance, to be honest. That, you know, I don't think I'm not pinning this on Ancelotti, I'm pinning it on the club, thinking, we'll be all right. We've got Vinicius, we've got Mbappe, we've got Bellingham, we've got Rodrigo, we've got Valverde. We'll play anyone at right back. Lucas Vasquez can do that. They, you can't, at the elite top end of European football and La Liga, you can't get away with that. So Ancelotti hasn't been helped by that. He's made the best of a bad deal in terms of who can I play, who can cover at centre-back. Alaba's been missing most of the season. There are one or two positions in the squad that need freshening up. I think probably left-back does. Neither appear to have had the trust of Ancelotti. I'm not sure either are good enough for Real Madrid to be first choice. So I think that might need looking at. We know Trent Alexander-Arnold probably is coming in. You look at the midfield players, with the exception of Modric, they're all fantastic ages. They're all fantastic players. So that's what I'm saying. It's not a squad that needs ripping up. Rüdiger's got life left in him.
What we don't know with Real Madrid, we don't know exactly who makes the decisions, do we? As in, who's built exactly. The squad? So you don't know where to pin the blame, but one of the slight concerns...
I can tell you who's responsible for that. I don't know the director of football. I don't know head of recruitment.
So one of the issues with Ancelotti is that he doesn't push upwards much, no, it would seem. Exactly. He doesn't seem... Every now and again, he has a bit of a moan in a press conference, doesn't he, about, a bit short of defenders and stuff.
Yeah.
But he just seems to sort of accept the Real Madrid way, and which leads to this notion that, as you know, a couple of the guys have pointed out, this notion that it's a very hard club to manage, which is another challenge. If it was, I can't imagine Klopp going. I can imagine Klopp going in and massively falling out with Florentino Perez, for example.
Which it might not be the worst. I mean, you don't want it falling out to the extent it's a breakup.
Yeah.
But it might not be the worst thing in the world for a manager to apply a little bit of pressure.
Yeah. And
when I'm saying that, a little bit of pressure, it wouldn't have hurt, you know, Real Madrid to spend 10 million on a half decent right back from somewhere. That, you know, they could have done that, but they chose not to. And it's cost them. Because, as I say, it affects other players in other positions. It affects the centre backs that they've got a right back who's a right winger that's probably, you know, not up to the job of playing in the big games against the best teams. And they identify a weakness. So you're on the right side of the centre back, you're nervous. And this is not criticism. It is criticism of Lucas Vazquez as a right back, but it's not his fault. He's in the position that he's found himself in by being the only person at a club that can play there.
Yeah, and you would question. I would question their.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Their player recruitment network as well, because they've signed players occasionally, and Endrick obviously was a kid, but there's a level. For example, I was watching Nottingham Forest last night. Murillo, who Forest signed from Corinthians for about 10 million or something like that, and you think, God, he's a good player, isn't he? They'd sell him for a lot more than that now. And there, sometimes the superstar clubs and Real Madrid and other superstar clubs fall into this. Seem to neglect a level of player who could make a difference to them. And also, they don't bring players through. It's a rarity, and Asensio's done well this season, but it's a rarity. Can I read Darren's point? Because it falls to a Barcelona fan to defend Carlo Ancelotti, because no one else really has. It probably should be highlighted, he says. He's the only manager in Real Madrid's history to win La Liga and the European Cup Champions League double twice. And that's happened in this current period. Add in the Copa del Rey 2023, along with the Copa and Champions League double of 2014, and he has to be considered one of the most important figures at the club. I think, everyone would agree with that, wouldn't they? I think that's...
Yeah.
The current spell is the longest a manager at Real Madrid has had since Miguel Munoz in the 60s and 70s. It's a club by nature where managers don't get time to rebuild teams, and winning major trophies like La Liga haven't been enough to prevent the sack. Del Bosque, Capello. Despite managing teams I've no personal affection for, I've always had a lot of respect and admiration for what he's achieved and empathised with him over how shabbily he's been treated at times. Chelsea comes to mind. And sadly, I'm seeing it happen again. I struggle to understand, especially when they still have a chance to win La Liga, they're still in the Copa del Rey. With Barca's tired legs and minds on display again against Celta, along with the injuries to Balde and Lewandowski, I don't think you can rule out Madrid from winning both. What we don't know is how much impact he's had with recruitment. And he hasn't been served well with dependable squad guys like Nacho and Joselu not being replaced. In my mind, the glaring issue they've had this season has been Toni Kroos no longer being there because he was the guy with the cadence and the passing range to link the team together. One wonders if the club feel with heavy investments in the likes of Tchouaméni and Camavinga that they've turned into automatics and have to be picked under Carlo's stewardship. Maybe he should have bowed out after an incredible high last summer, but who'd turned down the chance to work with a talent like Kylian Mbappe? And then he says, Barca fan, remember? Unfortunately, there's a section of the Real Madrid fan base who have an unbelievable sense of entitlement and their world comes crumbling down in any year that they don't win the Champions League. This is an incredible run of 6 triumphs in 11 years, which every other club in the world would crave. I can't be the only one who looks on with bemusement at the games taking place at the Bernabeu and the home team are being booed, singling out players for growls of disdain, like as they did for Mbappe.
I would go further eventually. He's probably the most important player in European football history.
Person. Yeah.
You had his titles as a player, Champions Leagues at Milan as well. What he's done at Real Madrid, it surpasses what anyone else has done. It really does.
So say that again. The most important figure.
One of the most important figures in European football history.
Yeah.
As a player and a manager.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff he won as a player as well, Serie A titles and champions and European Cups. And then he's done this as a manager with Milan and now with Real Madrid and won titles with 5 different countries. I think he's won titles, league titles. That's no one else has done. No one else, literally, nobody else has done that. So I'm not calling for him to be the sack. I'm not calling for a retirement. I just think it needs a fresh voice at Real Madrid. And I think a plan, tactical plan, would be preferable to what we've seen at the moment with the situation with the players that Real Madrid have. It does need a plan. And I think the players are crying out for a plan. Jude Bellingham, I have no idea where he plays anymore. And at the weekend in the second half, he was playing as a centre forward, just getting himself in the box. First half, it was a shy performance as a centre forward. He was half there, he half wasn't. He wasn't in the box, but he wasn't tracking back. He wasn't playing in midfield. He wasn't playing out on the left. But in the second half, he just planted himself firmly as the number 10, kept running in the box. The idea was to put crosses into the box, which they tried against Arsenal, and it didn't work. And there's a few games this season against the better opposition where they've fallen short. And, you know, that's even in the Champions League stages, they struggle. They've struggled against Barcelona this season. Atletico Madrid is a given that it's going to be a tight encounter as always. But this isn't a classic Real Madrid team. It's, you know, as I say, I think Mbappe has been a spectacular success individually. Has it made the team better? No, that's why he's getting the criticism. And yeah, 6 Champions Leagues in 11 years is just it's ridiculous. So when they don't win it, it's a calamity, but I promise you it isn't. Barcelona have gone 10 years without winning it.
Right, let's move on and do the rest. So, Giroud, you've foreshadowed, Terry. Girona 0, Betis 3. Anthony with a volley, Isco with a headed goal on his birthday, Johnny Cardoso, who's going to has been getting a lot of praise from us this season with a header, and Girona, they're making a late bid for relegation.
Yeah, I mean, Stuani gets a late goal, so that was a consolation, and it does kind of reinforce, Stuani should play. Why don't you play him? He's the only one that scores. Play him, start him. He can't be that knackered and old that he's you can't start him in games. The issue with Girona, which is similar to Real Madrid, is that Girona do have a plan, and it was spectacular last season. It's spectacular when they're full of confidence, full of belief, and everyone's buying into it. When they have this tactical plan this season, in the second half of this season, when they don't have any confidence, they're getting beat in most games, when they're so easy to play against. And that is a huge issue going into the last few games. They play... This week, I'm just checking to see if they was at home against Leganés. They're away to Leganés on Wednesday evening, I think. So that's going to be huge. I mean, they're slipping towards it. it was one of those where there are one or two other teams. I think Sevilla are living with a confidence crisis at the moment, identity crisis. But Girona have been slipping down there, and most people have been thinking, no, they'll be okay. You know, they're on 34 points. They've been on 34 points for ages now. So it's an issue. And what I mean by that is when, you know, the right back and the left back, when they go and play in centre midfield, we eulogise over it. We go, oh, look, this is really inventive from Michel. It's blah, blah, blah. It's this, it's that. It's what led to them last season. And then the wingers tuck inside, and Yengo Herrera plays as a 9.5, not a 10. He's not a 9. Now I'm looking at it, and every time Betty's got the ball, any time anyone gets the ball and they attack Girona, there's no one about. I'm looking at the right back and the left back. Oh, they're in midfield, centre midfield. Oh, one's left wing, one's centre midfield, and it's 3-2. And there was one of the goals lost, Isco's header last night. Him and Cardoso could have both scored that. They're the only two players running towards the ball, there's no one marking them. And it was Girona had dealt with the initial counter-attack, and then Betis won it back again. And then the cross comes back into the box, and literally there's no one there from Girona. They just let players run past them. That's where you do need a different plan from Michel to change the dynamic of a team from a team that 6 weeks ago were on the verge of challenging for Europe again, to suddenly not picking up a point at all. Now you're in a relegation battle, and it's only just dawned on them that that's going to be the case. So it'd be interesting to see the attack against Leganés.
Is there Thursday night Leganés? Is there a case for sacking him for this reason?
No, under no circumstances. Even if Girona would get relegated, I wouldn't sack him. Whether he'd stay or not remains to be seen.
Well, that's why I think, because I think he should leave. I don't think he should leave now. I think he should leave in the summer, is what I think. So therefore, why not do it 6 weeks early and get someone else in to come and... Because is it possible, feasible, for a manager who's had all this success doing what you described to suddenly not by Thursday?
He did look bewildered on the bench during the game. And not for the first time. I remember him seeing as manager of Rio, I think, and it was his eyes were blinking, and he was the plan isn't working. What can I do now? And there was a degree of panic on his face. And there was in that game last night when Betis was strolling to 3-0. It was 3-0 by half time, and the game's done. And the fact that Emery ended up 3-1 was a result for Girona, to be honest, and Michel. So I think there was a look of bewilderment last night where he's looking, thinking, I'm not sure what to do here. I don't think there'd be anything gained from Girona making that change now. You know, no new manager coming in, completely ripping up. I'm not saying rip up the playbook completely, but maybe just go back to basics and maybe focus your mind on the job in hand, which is probably getting another couple of wins, two or three wins to ensure you stay up. You know, it's not easy done when you're on this slump that they find themselves in, and the game against Leganés is going to be crucial. I mean, they could win that, and it's all eased. If they get beat, they're in the big trouble. Yeah. And we keep hearing about the similarities to the last time they got relegated. I mean, it's a team that's in, I think, it's seventh or eighth season ever in the top flight. So the pressure shouldn't be too much, but the expectation levels have gone up, because it would be infamous if they are in the Champions League and then get relegated in the same season. So let's see how they can, the players react as well, and the manager reacts when they play Leganés.
Yes. Right, let's move on to Villarreal's 2-2 draw. I said that well, didn't I? With Real Sociedad. So it's a funny, the Real Sociedad goals were weird, weren't they? So there's a very VAR-y handball, isn't there?
Yep.
Which is never, wasn't a handball a short while ago, but now it is. And then a howler by the goalkeeper. They contrived not to get these points, didn't they, Villarreal?
I mean, they take the lead, Jeremy Pino, and they look bright. They're surprised. Game, they scored two, and Marcelino says after the game, well, we actually scored five. They had three goals disallowed. And I think, I mean, the Iosi Perez one where he's in front of Ramiro is debatable. It's probably the right call, if I'm being honest, just about. But the foul that led to the last one being disallowed right in the dying moments of the game, scandalous. And that appeared to me to be, it was six, them pulling each other. It could have been a foul to Villarreal, but the foul went against them after they do score the goal. And I thought that was the ridiculous decision, that one. The other two, one's offside, one's a debatable offside where he's interfering with a goalkeeper. Probably just is. I mean, if you're that close just to the side of the goalkeeper, you're in the eye line of the keeper, it probably is harsh, but it is probably the right call. But I think the third one was a poor decision. There should have been the goal should have been allowed. So I think that seems to be the unanimous feeling as well. And you're watching on television, listening to the people talking about it. Huge surprise that goal was ruled out. So it's unlucky for Vero. They have a game in hand. That's at the weekend. It's the one La Liga game at the weekend. At home to Espanyol. If they win that, which is debatable at the moment because of the ridiculous form we've seen from Espanyol in recent weeks, and an upturn in away form for Espanyol as well. That's going to be a tough game, but the league table, as you know, I'm a fan of it being levelled out. We have this game in hand between these two teams. If Espanyol win it, they're on the verge of European football, and which is how ridiculous their comeback has been. If Villarreal win it, then they're on the verge of Champions League.
Yes. Right. Let's do Atletico. In fact, we need to talk about the relegation battle. And I know Atletico are technically not in the relegation battle, despite their recent form. But then we need to have a look at, is everybody else in the relegation battle? I'm saying that they are. I'm saying even Espanyol Getafe, despite recent form, because I'll get the table up and we'll have
they're
a look. They're
seven clear, aren't they? Espanyol, seven clear.
Yeah.
Getafe, eight clear.
Yeah, so I think they'll be fine. However, Alaves, 31 from 32, would suggest that we're looking at about 38, 39.
Yeah.
As the drop mark. So you're not done. As you know, as your owner are proving. I mean, the momentum tells you that they are. They'll be fine. But, you know, Girona are proving to us that you're not done. Until the points are in the bag, you're not done. So you look around. Joaquin Caparros's Sevilla got a one-all draw with Alaves, Kike Garcia, 35-year-old Kike Garcia, banging one in. Osasuna, vital win, didn't they, against Valladolid?
Yes.
Rayo 1, Valencia 1. Valencia dominated that game in many ways. Mallorca 0, Leganés 0. We're not going to dwell on that. And Espanyol got the 1-0 against Getafe. And Las Palmas got an absolutely vital win against Atletico. So, any idea who's going down? Valladolid, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, Valladolid are almost down. I mean, it's just a confirmation needed now, isn't it? They can get to 34 points max if they win all their remaining games. That's not going to happen anyway. So 34 points max,
yeah,
that's not going to be enough anyway, probably.
Yeah, could go down this week.
So they're going down this week, probably. After that, it's remarkable how Espanyol turned their season around.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The 10 games unbeaten at home, and now they've picked up away wins as well in recent weeks. So they're going to be safe. They're rock solid defensively, great goalkeeper. They can nick a goal. This time it was Kumbulla from a set piece. So they're not going down. Getafe are not going down. Rayo is safe. Valencia appears now that I don't think anyone's that concerned now that they're going to get relegated. They're seven clear. They're in good form. playing confident football, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets, although they didn't in this game. Celta are safe. Mallorca are challenging for Europe. Leganes are three from safety. So that's why against Girona, they can drag Girona right back in it. They have to, Leganes. I mean, and they're competitive. You know, they're classic. 0-0 away to Mallorca. Mm. We're just going on. We won't dwell on that too long. That's a decent result for Leganes. Mallorca are, riding high. They're seventh in the table. At home, they're really good. So Leganes to get the draw there. So they're going to be competitive. They're going to... If Girona don't match that fine tenacity that Leganes showed, then Girona are going to be in trouble.
Yeah. The other way...
Sunday turn on their form, confidence is flying, and they're knocking the ball about, you know, striking their stuff, doing their thing. That's not going to happen. So Girona are going to have to fight. But the Las Palmas win.
The other... Can I just sound like it is? One win in 12 is the other angle to look at them. So for all the competitiveness in games, they never win any and never beat anyone. Who was it the one against? They beat Getafe a few weeks ago. Never beat anyone around them. Then so they never win those six-pointers. So they're just dogged.
Something they've got to do, and this is the game to do it in. The win for Las Palmas was extraordinary. It's killed Atleti. They're out of it now. I mean, I looked at they can get 81 points maximum if they win. They lost six games. And if you consider Barcelona have already got 73, then 81 points isn't going to be enough to win the title. So talking point is Las Palmas, you know, extraordinary win, back-to-back wins after, you know, a miserable runoff form. And, you know, it's Atleti is the talking point in terms of why have they come up short again? Mm. I don't know is the answer. I look at it from the outside. I think maybe lack of belief. I mean, it is two titles in Simeone's time now. The first one, I think Jimenez and Koke still at the club. Were they at the club? Koke certainly was. Jimenez maybe from the first one. So there's not too many title winners at Atletico Madrid in this squad. Julian Alvarez has won one at Manchester City, of course, maybe more than one. But there just seems to be a lack of belief that they don't believe in themselves that they can topple Barcelona or Real Madrid. And that's my opinion on why they've fallen short again this season. So it's disappointing because I wanted a three-team race with half a dozen games to go, but we haven't got that. So it's going to be interesting to see what the outcome is. I'm not suggesting for one moment they're going to change manager, but there might be some more personnel changes in the playing squad from Atletico Madrid for next season. Or do they think, well, we made those big signings, that's their year to settle in, let's see how we progress now. There's no doubt they'll be close again next year, but close and no cigar is not where Atletico Madrid want to be. So that was an extraordinary result, Las Palmas winning there in that game.
So just briefly, Sevilla, Alaves, I don't know who's happier with that. Sevilla obviously edge a point towards safety. They're not done at 37. But Alaves crucial not to lose from, you know.
I think Alaves would be happier with the point. Sevilla are not winning home games, not winning any games at the moment. And Alaves fully deserved their point. It was a very even match. No major difference between the two teams. It's interesting what's happening at Sevilla. I don't think we shouldn't underestimate what's going on at the club, what's going on behind the scenes. The dissent from the supporters towards the club, that doesn't sit well for home matches. The populist choice of bringing Joaquin Capiros back. And I have to be honest, there was some bizarre behaviour from him at the weekend.
Mm. Jumping around like a 12-year-old.
it was an awkward watch at times, to be honest.
I mean, what was he doing? Was he trying to show how sprightly and how much energy?
I guess so. He tried to jog down the line at the age of 69 that didn't look great. And yeah, there was some bizarre mannerisms. His demeanour was kind of... I guess he was trying to show that he's in charge and I can do this and stuff like that. And I'm the leader that you're searching for, but the performance didn't really reflect that. I think that's going to be a bit of a calamity, to be honest, the end of the season for Sevilla. because we got the games are coming thick and fast and looking at what their next game is.
Well, they've got Osasuna on Thursday night away, Leganés again, Celta Vigo away, Las Palmas at home, Real Madrid at home, Villarreal. It's hard. I find it hard to look at the fixtures at this time of season and say what the outcomes will be because you start getting into weird results now.
Yeah, and also it's a strong league this season. Avadil accepted. Even the others down the bottom give you a game. So none of those are easy for Sevilla. Yeah. None whatsoever. And some are really tough. Some, you know, you're thinking, as you read them out, I'm thinking, I ain't going to win that, not going to win that, not going to win that. And at least three of those, which means three, like Leganés, Las Palmas, a must win, must not get beat. I think that's the territory Sevilla in. Don't get beat in these games.
Yeah.
But I don't have confidence that that's going to be the case at the moment.
Yeah. Right, I think we'd better leave it there because we need to get it uploaded and everything for people to listen to before we start again because there's a midweek round. Oh, and then Terry...
That's tonight.
Sorry, yeah, now. Yeah, now it starts. So, and then Copa del Rey final, Saturday night. We're going to come back and do another one Friday, aren't we? But you're on Premier Sports, you can see this with a co-commentator, everybody, with an expert co-commentator. The best co-commentator is Terry Gibson. So, yeah, that's a good one. It's a good game.
I'm looking forward to the comfort zone. I don't know if people know, we haven't worked together yet, have we? But we've worked together on the championship since Christmas. We've been there on the same days and it's my comfort zone now is the teams we've been talking about on this podcast. So yesterday doing Cardiff against Oxford, God, the work I put into that and still mess it up. and it's just a blessing now to be doing Real Madrid, Getafe Real Madrid on Wednesday for ITV. And again, that's my comfort zone, recognising players without having to look at numbers on their back and stuff like that. So it's a looking forward to the games this week. Getafe, Real Madrid. Is that the last game you'd want before Copa del Rey final away at Getafe on the Wednesday night? It probably is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And luckily, you haven't got travel far. That's the only thing I would say. But it's not ideal opponents. When you're in the title race still and you need the win and then you play rivals Barcelona on Saturday evening, Getafe away is probably the last game you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, well, have fun. Enjoy that game. And we'll see everybody. Thank you to the Patreons for your support. Thank you to everybody for listening. We'll see you Friday to look at this current round, this now round of La Liga games, and to preview the Copa del Rey final. And we'll see you soon. Thank you for your support. Bye-bye.
The greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.